Wonderful. Okay, well, I would like this morning for you to please open with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Just had a wonderful weekend looking at the book of Philippians. Many of you were there. And I wanted this morning to look at just one short section regarding Timothy. And it was something that I had mentioned at the weekend, and I just wanted to look at this a little more closely. Timothy is one of the examples of genuine service, genuine service, genuine love. And he is held up as a model to these saints at Philippi and was the real deal. Timothy was the real deal. And there's a section here, and we're going to start in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. And it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." That word care is that word you guys are familiar with, it, the word merimneo. And it's used in a number of places in the word, speaking of divided in the mind, you know, to the point of anxiousness or being uptight or overly concerned, these kinds of things. Take no thought, you know, as to what you would wear, what is used in Matthew. That's that word merimneo. Here, it's used in a little different way. And it's to have concern. It's to be concerned about. And Timothy would have a concern for these saints at Philippi. And here's why. This is kind of neat. "For all seek their own, and not the things which are" whose? Jesus Christ's. Not the things that are Jesus Christ's. See? Timothy's concern was the things that are Jesus Christ's. See? And he had proved himself, it says in the next verse. He had proved himself as the real deal, as a man who loved genuinely, who served genuinely, who thought on the things of others rather than himself. But the way it's phrased here is he was concerned for the things that are Jesus Christ's. Now, in light of that, we're going to look at nothing but familiar scriptures this morning. But being concerned for the things that are Jesus Christ's. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is part of a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 that begins in verse 17. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us," or to usward, "who believe, according to the working of his mighty power," or according to his ability to prevail, which was wrought in Christ. That ability to prevail was wrought in Christ. God's full plan for redeeming mankind was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand firstborn, new creation, new man, the firstborn of a new race of men. See. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world or this age, but also in that which is to come, or also in the coming ages, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? His body. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all and in all. He fills all things in all people. Where? In the body. His church. Now, this is a simple question, but Jesus Christ, being head of the body, what would be his concern as head of the body? His body. Right? His church. Those are the things that would concern Jesus Christ. See? And we read that Timothy did not seek his own, but rather the things that were whose?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And that he would naturally care for those saints in Philippians. In Philippi. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, another familiar section. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are what?
One body.
So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Gentile, bond, free, makes no difference. We've been all made to drink into one Spirit. We've been baptized into one Spirit. This is the baptism that Jesus Christ spoke of back in Acts chapter 1. It was carried out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That baptism in Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Is that true? No. It may say it, but it's not true. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Absolutely not. It's not true. If the ear doesn't do what the eye does, it can't say because of that that I am therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. As it hath pleased him. Now, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but what?
One body.
And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what?
Necessary.
Are necessary. This word seem, it's a word that means it's a supposition, a judgment. But it is a supposition or a judgment that is contrary to what God's Word says. It seems to be more feeble or less honorable. It seems that way. But that would be by the senses, right? That's not according to God's Word. That's not how we're to think. That's not how we're to suppose it or to see it. That's not the judgment that we're to make when we think according to God's Word. And, verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely or unattractive parts have more abundant comeliness. See? For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part, which, what? Lacked. See? And that word temper, you guys know what that means. It's, you know, a simple example is steel, where steel, it's iron and carbon. Iron's a pretty soft metal. You know? And carbon's good for, I don't know, blackening under your eyes. But when you mix carbon and iron together, you get what? You get steel. See? Right. And the strength of that steel is greater than the sum of its parts, than just iron and carbon. God has tempered the body together. So that part which lacked, see, has been supplied. Do you see it? It's as one. That's how it works. That's how we're to see it. That's to be our judgment. We're not a respecter of persons. It's really something. That's how Timothy saw it. See, it's a new way of thinking. And the reason why we can do this, the reason why we can think this way and carry it out, is because we have a new life. We have spirit. See? It's pretty neat. Matter of fact, keep your finger here. We're going to come right back in just a minute. But I want you to turn, as I'm thinking about this, to Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says that the righteousness, that standard of justice of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after or according to the flesh, but according to the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, or according to the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. Now this word mind is a word phronema, or phroneo, I think it is. And then phronema is also used in this section. And this is a word that came up at the Philippians weekend, for those of you who were there, right? And it's not just thinking. It's being aware of what you're thinking. There's a decision involved. It's thinking about what you're thinking about. Okay? Do you understand that? I determine to think a certain way. See? And it's the opposite of what the world says. You know, the world says, I feel. I feel like this. I feel like you did this. I feel like I should do this. See, that's a counterfeit. That's the exact opposite of God's word. God's word is, you think, and you feel what you think. You don't think what you feel. Do you understand? See, thinking what you feel is bondage. That's slavery. Slavery to your emotions. Slavery to your feelings. But we think about what we want to think about. They that are according to the flesh do think the things of the what? The flesh. But they that are according to the Spirit, and it's an ellipsis here, the things of the what? The Spirit. They think the things of the Spirit. We have that new life, that Spirit. And God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that's unconditional. See? That is Spirit. That is Spirit. And we can think the things of that new life. Isn't that something? We can think that way. For to be carnally minded, thinking, is what? It's death. And to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Isn't that something? Because the carnal thinking, that's that word, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't, because they don't have Spirit. They're flesh. Therefore, they cannot think the things of the Spirit. They can't. But you are not in the what? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See? Isn't that something? We have that new life, and we can line up our thinking with that new life, with that Spirit. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians, but on the way, let's stop at Romans 12. Of course, these are renewed mind realities, renewed mind thinking. Not thinking according to the world. And in verse 9 it says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. It's genuine. Kind of lines up with what we just read in 1 Corinthians 12, doesn't it? To change our thinking. You know, those things that seem to be less honorable. They seem. But see, that's not the judgment we make. Our judgment, our supposition, is according to God's word.
say.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring or taking the lead in showing honor. This word honor is value. The value of each one. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in the hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and what? Wow. That's new life. That's new thinking. Right? That's new thinking. You know, speak well of them that persecute you. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, the same thinking. That's that word again. One toward another. Mind not high things. Think not high things. But condescend or run with men of low estate or humble men. Be not wise in your own what? Isn't that something? See, be not wise in your own conceits. Humble men. Humble to God's word. Humble to that spirit. Humble to that new way of thinking. And this runs contrary to the flesh. It runs contrary to the world. That's what made Timothy such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful example. Because this is what he did. This is how he lived. This is who he was. This is who we are. This is what God's made us. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. All men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I got this one, says the Lord. See, leave those things to Him. That's not who we are. That's not what He's made us. See, and when He carries those things out, it'll be perfectly just. When you and I try and carry these things out, not so much. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 24 again, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, no gaps, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's that word care. Same word as was spoken of Timothy, that he would naturally care for their state. We're to have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all members what? One member be honored, all members what? Rejoice. We're in this together. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Each one of us has an office, has a function in this body of Christ. And God has tempered this thing together. Now, it may by the senses seem like one is more important than the other, but that's wrong thinking. That's wrong opinion, wrong judgment. We line our thinking up with what the Word says. That's one body thinking. See, it's new thinking. It's a new way to live. And I want you to turn to 1 John. Because I want to kind of show you something here. Being concerned for the things that are Jesus Christ's. Is manifested by being concerned for the body of Christ. which is made up of members in particular. In light of that, I want to read this section in 1 John. And we are going to begin in verse 7. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7 says, Beloved. Beloved. Isn't that great? Beloved. Mm-hmm. We are beloved. Let us love one another. For, and it should read, the love is of God. That genuine love, that love without hypocrisy. And everyone that loves like this is what? Born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not or understands not or perceives not God, for God is what? Love. That's what God is. So if I love not, how can I say that I understand God if that's what He is? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is the love. Not that we loved God, but that He what? That He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atonement, the full payment for our sins. That's love. Not that we love God. There is every reason to love God. There is no reason not to love God. Love here is God loving us. We were enemies of God. We were spirit. We were carnal. And that God was willing to sacrifice His Son, putting Him through all that He had to go through, so that we could be sons. That was love. Beloved of God, so loved us, we should also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and His love is what? Right. It's fulfilled. It's accomplished when we love one another. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in who? Right. And God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And that boldness in the day of judgment, it's confidence. It's great confidence in the day of judgment. And there are at least two days of judgment. One is today. It's man's day. Man does the judging. There's also future judgment talked about, right? When that love is perfected, we have confidence, boldness in both. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Then verse 19 should read, we love, the word him is not there, we love because he what? First loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a what? He's a liar. Isn't that something? So, if a man says he loves God, what does that man do? He loves. He loves his brother. If a man is concerned for the things that are Jesus Christ's, how is that manifested? He's concerned for the body. Isn't that something? See, that's how these things are manifest. That's what this new life from God and how it's manifest is caring for one another and loving one another. Loving God is manifested by loving one another. Caring for the things of our Lord Jesus Christ is caring for one another. It's esteeming one another better than self. Isn't that neat? You know, we're familiar with the scripture, and you know, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now that's in the Gospels. The epistles don't talk about that. The epistles talk about that which is addressed to the born again ones, to the saints. It talks about loving one another. That's how I love God. Pretty cool. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he's not seen? It's a good question. That's like a good question. I love God, but you, not so much. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God, what? Loves his brother also. See? This is the way we think. This is the way we think. And I got to tell you, it's going to require thinking. It's going to require making a decision to think a certain way. To esteem other better than themselves is going to require me making the decision to see it that way. To think that. See, if I'm going to love, I have to think it. I have to love. I make the decision to love. It's not a feeling. That is such a counterfeit. Because there are many times I may not feel like it. It starts with thinking, not with feelings. That new life that Romans talks about is thinking the things of the Spirit. I determine to do that. I determine to think that which I am. Not that which I want to be, but that which I am. What I've been made in Christ. To do otherwise is to be an imposter. Because that's not who you are. This came up at some point. I thought it was interesting that, you know, boy, when you walk with that kind of love, when you, that kind of concern for people, the world will call you a poser. That's something. But really, those who are born again, those who have the Spirit of God and don't live that way, they're the posers. They're acting like natural men, but they're not. They're acting like men of body and soul, but they're not. They're acting like men of the flesh, but they're not. Because of the price that's been paid by Jesus Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? No. A new way to think, a new way to live. Because of that Spirit. And that's the way we want to think. That's how we want to see it. You know, having that same care one for another. Like Timothy. What a man he was, huh? What a It was awesome. It ran in his family. First in his grandmother, Lois. Pretty neat. So, I'm going to pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love, your grace, for the incredible examples that we have, Father, to model our lives after. That we can think this way, that we can love like this, that we can have this kind of care. Thank you, Father, for these things, for what you've made us and who we are because of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he willingly, of his own free will, sacrificed himself on our behalf. I thank you, Father, for these things in his name. Amen. Amen.